Fight or invite? We have a great deal of construction going on around our house. Not only has it been noisy and dusty, but recently we've had a number of baby cockroaches invade our bathroom. We didn't invite these unhealthy little critters into our house, but they found an opportunity and took it. In response to their invasion, we've tried to battle them individually, killing them as they appear, but it hasn't been enough. Now my husband has become more aggressive and purchased cans of spray and the cockroach traps. He's fighting against this enemy before it grows even more, and we're winning. Have you found yourself being invaded by the enemy? Perhaps you're having a lot of things go wrong in your life, overwhelming bills, conflicts at work or home, friends finding fault, health problems increasing. These are miserable situations to deal with, especially if they happen all at once. Sometimes we can be facing a Job situation where the enemy has been allowed to torment us mercilessly. But sometimes, just sometimes, we've invited the enemy into our camp and found ourselves suffering the consequences. Today we're going to be talking about fighting or inviting the enemy. God has told us we need to fight our enemy, the devil. He even shows us how to do it, saying, "Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm." Unfortunately, though, sometimes as Christians, we deliberately stand in the enemy's camp, and then we wonder why our lives are falling apart. Troubles like cockroaches keep springing up in our lives, and we're finding it difficult to bat them away. It seems the Christians of Ephesus had that problem, and Paul had to tell them, "Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." Remember, Paul was writing to a Christian audience, to those who should have already been fighting the enemy. Yet if they were letting the Spirit transform their thinking and behavior, Paul wouldn't have had to give them this instruction. If they were truth tellers, he wouldn't have had to say, "Stop telling lies." If they weren't letting anger get a foothold in their hearts, he wouldn't have had to say, "Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry." If they were honest, he wouldn't have had to tell them, "Quit stealing." And if they were pure of speech, he wouldn't have had to say, "Don't use foul or abusive language." If they weren't doing these things, Paul wouldn't have had to explicitly tell them the consequences of inviting the enemy into their lives. "You can be sure," he says, "that no immoral or impure or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and God." Not only did he want them to live victorious lives, but he wanted them to live forever in God's kingdom. A person engaging in immorality or impurity or selfishness is inviting the enemy to ruin their lives. We can't pray for or expect God's blessings if we're still living in the enemy's camp. God tells us to resist the devil, and he will flee, which brings us to today's devotional. We need to make sure that we're fighting and not inviting the enemy into our camp. The children of Israel had to learn this while they wandered in the wilderness. God had freed them, provided for them, guided them, even won their battles for them, but it wasn't enough. They decided to worship the golden calf instead of God. They literally invited the enemy of idolatry into their camp and broke the heart of God. If it wasn't for Moses' intercession, they would have been on their own, but Moses fought the enemy for them. He wouldn't let them continue to dabble with the enemy, for he knew that only when they fight the enemy and not invite the enemy will God travel with them. Paul also learned in the Damascus Road when he unfortunately was fighting on God's side, but instead of inviting the enemy into his camp, which is what he was doing, Jesus called to him. And finally, Paul was listening. Jesus said, "Saul,
Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's useless for you to fight against my will. Our fight really shouldn't be against the will of God, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. As citizens of heaven, we should conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. We should be standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. As Paul tells his spiritual son Timothy, fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you. That is the war we're supposed to wage against our enemy, the devil, who tries to steal, kill, and destroy us and those we love and the faith that makes us strong. That's also why we're to look around and see who we're fighting with and who we're fighting for. We don't want to pick a fight without reason when no one has done us harm. Only a hot-tempered person starts fights, whereas a cool-tempered person stops them. Greed causes fighting. Trusting the Lord leads to prosperity. Do you remember David's sin with Bathsheba? Instead of fighting the enemy, he was inviting the enemy of lust into his home and his heart. And what happened? This godly man, the man who as a young boy battled the giant Goliath in the name of the Lord and prevailed, forgot who he should be battling, and he let the enemy in. But it didn't stop there. He let lust turn to greed, and he arranged the death of Bathsheba's godly husband Uriah. How many Christian families have been destroyed when the couple hasn't fought the enemy, but invited the enemy into their home? Nor do we fight the enemy alone. Although the children of Israel were helpless against the might of Pharaoh's army, and that army even boasted that they would chase them and catch them and plunder them and consume them by the sword. But God was greater. Moses praised the Lord, saying, "Your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, smashes the enemy." What did Daniel do when faced with hungry lions? He spent the time in prayer. What did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do when faced with the fiery furnace? They honored the Lord. What did Paul and Silas do when beaten and imprisoned? They worshiped the Lord. If we follow these principles and obey the Lord, then he will fight our enemy for us and oppose those who oppose us. He promises that each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemy, for the Lord your God fights for you, just as he has promised. The prophet Deborah assured Barak of this, saying, "Get ready. This is the day the Lord will give you victory over Sisera, for the Lord is marching ahead of you." The Lord promised victory to Gideon and a small army of 300 soldiers, saying, "I will be with you, Gideon, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." The prophet promised Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah when they faced their enemy, "Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." Even Paul, in the midst of a typhoon, knew God was fighting his enemy and assured others, "Take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night an angel of the Lord, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar.'" Later, when Paul was facing the very might of Rome, he did not surrender to fear, but he preached the good news boldly. No matter how great the enemy, beloved, or how small we seem, God is fighting for us. We just have to make sure we've not invited the enemy into our camp. We have to make sure that we are fighting on the Lord's side, for then he will be our refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach us. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.